right, here we go. The scoop. New England Patriots quarterback Cam Newton approaching this week as if his job is in jeopardy after him being pulled in the fourth quarter of Sunday's 33-6 loss to the Niners. This morning, yesterday morning on WEEI in Boston, Newton said, quote, "The first thing I said to myself coming home was, you keep playing games like that, bro, and it's going to be a permanent change. You don't need to tell me that for me to understand. I get it loud and clear." John, the Patriots are now 2-4. How close are they to going with Jared Stidham full time?
You know, it pains me to admit this because you were saying it was going to happen, but I think it's going to happen. I've watched Red Zone every Sunday, so I see all these games, and Cam Newton looks terrible. I mean, he's missing guys that are wide open. He's given up on plays.
Do you think the after effects of COVID are having any effect on him?
Nah.
Nah?
I think that Carolina saw what New England is now seeing, that maybe he just doesn't have it anymore. But I heard Jeff Darlington say this morning that it's premature to, or maybe it was Dan Graziano, said it was premature to say Newton's out. He thinks Newton is still the starter. He's going to get at least one more game to do it, but that he better, that Cam's right about himself. He better get his act together or Stidham's going to be in there. He doesn't have a lot of rope, I'll tell you that.
Go Stidham.
All right, Mace, on Saturday, the Texas football team beat Baylor, and that did what they've been doing for years, stayed on the field for the playing of the song, The Eyes of Texas. Okay. You know, the eyes of Texas are upon you, that thing they've been doing forever. This post-game ritual had erupted in controversy the past few weeks when most of the team left the field without staying to sing, after Texas's first two home games and again in Dallas after a loss to Oklahoma. The issue's been brewing since the summer when a group of players objected to the song because it has ties to racist elements in school history. It became even a bigger problem for the Longhorn Band, which reportedly had too many members refusing to play it this week. And so the band didn't have enough musicians to be at the game for the first time this season. The school played a recorded song over the loudspeakers anyway and says it will continue to do so. If the band doesn't want to play it and the players don't want to sing it, should the school keep insisting on playing The Eyes of Texas?
They should not. Now, I don't know. Do you know the details of what racist history the song might have?
I assume it's probably similar to what happened with Kate Smith. Do you remember Kate Smith who used to sing God Bless America? And then somebody found a racist song she sang around the same time, and they pretty much got her canceled. I would assume it's probably something similar to that. I'm with you. I don't think they should. If the band doesn't want to play it and the players don't want to sing it, that's it.
Yeah, clearly, if nobody wants to be on the field for it,
the alumni are the people.
Why would
want
you actually do it?
Because it's tradition.
According to Wikipedia, the lyrics of the song have been interpreted as embracing the Lost Cause ideology, which advocates the belief that the practice of slavery in the antebellum South was just and moral.
Okay.
It is to the tune of I've Been Working on the Railroad, which isn't that like a song?
Is it to the tune of I've Been Working on the Railroad?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, that was a...
It just seems to me that if you're going to do this, you need the players and you need the band. And you don't have either.
Yeah,
so
you don't have either one.
Game over.
Game over, I agree. All right, so far in Australia this year, seven people have been killed by sharks. That's the highest number in 90 years. There are always scattered shark attacks in Southern California every year, too. John, when you are swimming in the ocean, do you worry about sharks?
Zero. Matter of fact, when I first saw the movie Jaws, remember how scary that was when it came out in the 70s?
Oh, God,
before
yes.
Lindsay and George were even born. That all my friends, because I was a beach kid, all my friends, there were 10 of us, went and see it. We made a pact that the next day we would swim out to the buoys so we wouldn't be afraid to swim in the ocean. Because remember in the beginning of that movie, that girl swims out to the buoys and gets eaten by the shark?
Yeah, I do.
So I did. The very next day, I swam all the way to the buoys and swam all the way back just to get the fear to eliminate the chance that I would ever adopt a fear of sharks. I fought against it. So, no, I do not worry about sharks.
John, as you know, I have an irrational fear of sharks.
That's true.
After I saw Jaws, we had an above ground swimming pool, and I was honestly afraid sometimes when I go underwater
that I would
see a shark.
Is there anything more Toledo than an above ground swimming pool?
It's right up there, man. That is Toledo to a T. John, for all the cool places we go, I hardly ever go in the ocean. And like, I wanted to go in the ocean in El Salvador because there aren't a lot of shark attacks, but there were a lot of those. What are those things that are on the ground that you step on and you get, is that stingray? Stingray?
Well, the stingrays swim in the ocean and sting you, but
these are the things that go along the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
What are those things called?
But whatever it was, you were afraid of it.
I'm not a big ocean swimmer. I'm terrified of sharks. Most shark attacks happen within 3 feet of water. I stop at two feet since most sharks start at 3 feet deep. By the way, isn't that weird? Most shark attacks happen in 3 feet of water.
Bring it on. I ain't afraid
That's terrifying. The land is for me. The ocean is for sharks, and never the twain shall meet.
For whatever reason, it doesn't freak me out.
Oh, it's irrational for me. It's irrational.
Wow. So here, I just got this note from Mike Smith, sportscaster guy who used to play for the Celtics
sure.
and Clippers. He says, as you know, I'm a surfer, and 3 years ago at San Onofre, I'm sitting on my board. I saw a 15-footer about 20 feet away from me and haven't been back in the water since.
See?
Wow.
San Onofre is a bad place because supposedly there's warm water that comes from the two boobs.
Yeah.
This
is how stupid I am. So I'm in high school and somebody says, hey, if you want to go learn how to surf, go to San Onofre, because what happens is they have multiple breaks in the waves. So you've got to paddle way out. But then if you catch a wave, you can ride five or six different waves into the shore. They break, they double, triple, quadruple break. So it's a really good place to learn how to surf. So the first 2 weeks I'm there and I'm like, wow, the water here is like way warmer than it is in Newport. This is great. I'm going to come here every time. Not realizing I was, 200 yards from a nuclear power plant and probably, I'm just such an idiot. But the people still go in. They like the warm water.
Yeah, nuts.
All right. It's me, right?
See you. Yep.
Okay. 2 weeks ago, Mace, Clemson beat Georgia Tech in football 73-7. This past Saturday, after being favored by more than 40 over Syracuse, Clemson needed a 21-point burst in the fourth quarter to pull away 47-21. Dabo Swinney was defensive after the game. After a question about the team's energy level to start the game, Swinney said, quote, I just want to make sure I'm at the right press conference here. We did win the game, I think. Am I in the right spot? You don't usually score 47 points if you don't have any energy. End quote. Is it fair to criticize Clemson if they don't hammer their opponent every week? Or is a win always a win?
A win is always a win, but if you're the beat writer from the South Carolina Bobo Times,
right,
and you've got to write an article every week about Clemson, you need to find an angle. And 63-7 doesn't give you a story, but a 21-point burst to win it does give you a story. So I understand why the questions are being asked. Most weeks, I think there probably are no questions at all or really limited questions. I understand why people would ask those questions.
Yeah, me too. I think Dabo needs to relax. You're going to get questions like that all year. If you won the game, just face the music and move on. It's
all right. Pat Riley continues to be upset that the Lakers beat the Miami Heat in the finals. Here's what Riley says. They beat us fair and square, but there will always be that asterisk. If we had Bam and Goran at 100%, Goran was our leading scorer, it might have gone to a seventh game. Is Riley wrong to use the term asterisk?
Well, apparently he thinks he was wrong because he came out and clarified his position today.
Oh, did he? Okay.
He says that the asterisk is next to the Heat, not to the Lakers. He said the Lakers are legitimate champions and the Lakers won the series, but he said that the asterisk should be next to the Heat because they were missing their two main guys. I think the minute you invoke asterisk, you automatically make the championship less than.
Yeah, I agree.
In some way.
I agree.
Riley is, and I'm going to say this to put it kindly, the most uncompromising person I've ever met. He's just, he believes what he believes, and you're wrong if you don't agree with him. And so I think he was, this is what he believes. He believes that had he had Dragic and Bam at full strength, it may have been a different story, but I think he's wrong.
But do the Warriors get an asterisk when they don't have Steph and Clay?
You mean the Raptors? Yeah. No. And
how no. He says it should go on the losing team, not on the winning team.
Yeah. Well, what about the Cavs the year they lost Kyrie and Kevin Love in the same series?
There you go. You can't start handing out asterisks when players are lost to injury.
Nobody remembers anything other than who won the championship. That's what people remember forever. And the Lakers won it. And you know, what's weird is Pat has been the beneficiary of things like that before. So, I mean, that's just the way it goes. And to answer your question, I don't think he comes off looking good here. And I like
that. No, not at all. Just a little salty. It's you.
Okay. Let's see which one. Okay. This is an interesting one that I can bring this up. It's a little racy.
Oh,
but
good. A little racy.
All right,
I like
so,
that.
I want to see if you guys had the same reaction I did. Twitter is debating whether or not a man who sent out this tweet is telling the truth. Here's the tweet. Quote, "Do not stay at the Venetian in Las Vegas. They do not clean their rooms. We found dirty panties, used condoms / wrappers, and dirty / used face masks in multiple locations in the room. They almost ruined my relationship and didn't care about the health risk once notified." And he also included a photo of the three things he mentioned. That's the end of the tweet.
Yep.
Now, Twitter, in its ultimate wisdom, has concluded that if this, quote, almost ruined his relationship, end quote, then the guy's making this up. That he was the one responsible for the aforementioned items. Do you believe his story or did he make it up?
I think he absolutely made it up to cover for a broken relationship.
Lindsay, if he's saying, hey, it almost ruined my relationship, the relationship's not on very solid ground, is it?
No, definitely not. And I mean, those are all things that you would expect to find in a normal situation in a hotel.
Right.
Right.
And so. So maybe he was using the room before his significant other arrived, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You can't
trust
men.
Sounds about right.
Can't trust men.
Sounds about right. Yeah. Can't trust men. Is that what you said, Sophie? Or is that what you said?
That's exactly what I said. Just can't trust them.
Can't trust them. Can't trust
them. That's a broad brush.
Yeah, that's a broad brush. You can trust me.
You've never trusted, Lindsay, you've never trusted any man.
Well, I don't want to get in. We don't need to get into that. I'm just saying, in general. Generally speaking, no, you really can't.
Okay. Generally speaking, that's good to know.
All right. There you have it. There is your scoop for today. I'll let you know that coming up for you, Keyshawn Johnson's going to join us at 3, and Chris Rose from MLB Network is going to be with us at 3:15. The story of the day is obviously the Dodgers in Game 6 tonight here in Arlington. I'll be at Globe Life Field for that one. And by the way, John, I've been doing some Instagram live stuff from the games, which is actually going really well. Do you ever use the IG Live?
No. Of course not.
God, I would love to see an IG live. I wish your wife would do an IG live of you in your what would you call that? Your grand television room?
Yeah. Although I got Isaac sold me a better TV downstairs. I now have a better TV downstairs than I do upstairs. So I'm splitting time between both rooms. But if I ever figure out IG live, I'll have Lisa shoot me in the massage chair watching the Dodger game for you.
That's what I want to see. All right. Coming up next, more on tonight's Game 6. Plus, we got time to take some phone calls. 877-710-ESPN. That's 877-710-ESPN. What is your level of confidence for tonight's game six? And if the Dodgers have a narrow lead going to the ninth inning, what pitcher do you want to see on the mound? 877-710-ESPN. Mason and Ireland. This is the home of Dodger fans. Mason and Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The home for Dodger fans as we get ready for Game 6 of the World Series. I'm in Arlington, Texas. I'll be at Globe Life Field tonight. It is Tony Gonsolin, Catman, on the mound for the Los Angeles Dodgers as a starter, not as an opener. And he will face Blake Snell, who was very good in game number what? Game number two, right?
Game three.
Thank you. They all blend together to some degree. We're taking your phone calls. Jorge asked an interesting question,
which is,
where were you in 1988 and where will you be tonight?
Well, in 1988, I was working in Beaumont, Texas. So I was in the same state you were in. And when Gibson hit the home run, I was, remember when you used to go to parties and people would buy kegs?
Yeah, sure.
Go out to the keg.
Keg party.
I went out to the keg to refill a beer and missed the Gibson homer. I came back in and he was running around the bases doing the pumping of the, you know, the arm. And I saw like seven replays of it. But that's where I was. I was working as a TV sportscaster in Beaumont, Texas. Do you even remember? Oh, you just said you were in L.A., right?
Yeah, no, '88, I was not in L.A. yet, at least not for that. In '88, I was living in an apartment with both of my brothers, my brother's wife, my brother's son, and my brother's ex-wife. We were all living in one apartment. It was a happy, happy family.
Like a sitcom.
Not exactly the friggin' Brady Bunch, but I did not have a bed. I was laying on the floor when Gibson hit that home run. I was wide awake, and it was one of the great moments I can remember in sports, because even then I was a huge baseball fan, and I kept looking at Dennis Eckersley and saying, nobody's going to get to Eckersley. Nobody is going to get to Eckersley. And Kirk Gibson comes up with the jack. It was a gigantic moment. But that's where I was. I was on the floor at my entire family's apartment. It is an unbelievable moment in the history of sports, just because the A's were supposed to be so invincible.
So people, I did a bunch of sit down interviews at Time Warner the other day, talking, they're making a video about the Lakers championship.
Oh yeah.
And the guy said to me, where'd you come up with that call that you used at the end of the Laker game?
Love that call.
And the only thing I could think of was that, do you remember we had Vin Scully on earlier that week?
Yes.
We got Vin fairly recently, like the week the Lakers won the title. We got surprised. Our buddy Steve Brenner helped us out and got us Vin Scully.
Yes.
Probably the last time we ever get to talk to Vin. So Mason and I were on like cloud nine.
We were thrilled. Yeah, we were thrilled.
Before we had Vin on, we played his Gibson call. And at the end of that, he says, in a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened.
Ugh.
So I think I think I got that from playing that call like 2 days before with you. Like that we played that call in the air, and so what came out of my mouth was, in a year we all thought we wanted to forget, the Lakers give us something to remember forever. And so as usual, all the good calls derive from Vince Scully.
it's a great call in its own right, John. Every time I hear that call, I get chills. It's a fantastic call.
But that was the inspiration for it. 877-710-ESPN. Isaac in LA is online. Hey, Isaac, you're on 710-ESPN. Hi.
What's up, fellas?
What's up, Isaac? Hi. Isaac, is tonight the night?
Tonight's the night. We're bringing it home. It's been 32 years. I was 11 years old, 1988, watching the game with my pops, rest in peace. And when Gibson hit the home run, I feel it tonight. Walker Buehler's going to close it out. Walker Buehler.
Wait a minute. But it wait can't be Walker Buehler, Isaac, because he's pitching tomorrow.
Well, if it comes out to it, if it's a close game, it might not need to go a seventh game.
I don't think Buehler's pitching tonight.
Let's win tonight before Buehler pitches tomorrow. Well, let's win tonight,
I don't think, Mace, even if the game's close, even if it's like a 13-inning game and the Dodgers go up. Well, the Dodgers would hit in the bottom of the inning tonight, right?
They would hit in the bottom of the inning, yes.
Yeah, I think even if they get in a spot tonight, they're not going to Buehler.
Yeah, no, Dave Roberts said specifically, no Buehler, no Kershaw, and no Urias.
Okay, here's Eric in Covina. Hey, Eric, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Gentlemen, well, I'm going to be one of those, I'm always getting nervous around this time, you know, when you're going to clinch something, but I'm a little nervous because, hell, I hope we don't run into another Yu Darvish thing because this guy got lit in game two. They took him out early, and then we know how game two went. And now we're going, I thought this would be a game that we put Urias in because that guy can really get in there and, you know, pitch very well for us, get a sixth inning, and then you start bringing the other pitchers in and close it out.
Okay, but listen, Urias just threw game four. You can't throw him again now.
Yeah, I think that Urias and Kershaw and Buehler are the only three guys you absolutely won't see tonight. I don't think, Eric, any of those three are going to pitch.
Can you guys see? Because I don't want to do this. Hey, if he gets taken out after one inning, now you're going to start seeing a bunch of pitchers in there. It's like, okay, here we go. Everybody's got to be at the edge of their seat. And I'll tell you what, and I'm with you, Mace. Man, they should just, hey, Jensen, just you could have bought a ticket for this game because you ain't coming in it. You know, yeah, they had
you're not going to see.
Last time, I was getting nervous.
Yeah, you're. Thanks for the call, Eric. You're not going to see Kenley Jansen tonight.
Unless it's a blowout.
No. Do not
put him
in.
If it's a blowout, you throw Kenley Jansen.
No.
What do you mean no?
No way.
All right, so what?
What do you mean no? If it's a blowout, we're up 11-3, you're not going to throw Kenley Jansen?
No.
If we're up 20-3, you can throw him.
That's what it's going to take, 20-3?
20-3, 17-run
lead. I'm telling you, he pitched okay in that ninth inning.
The only one in Los Angeles who believes that. Mrs. Jansen thinks he pitched okay. Him and his 10.8 ERA.
I don't know if there is a Mrs. Jansen. I know that Kenley thinks he didn't throw that bad.
Well, then he would be sadly mistaken.
It's two bloop singles. I don't get the freak out over Kenley Jansen. At home plate.
Hey, Mr. Two Bloop Singles. His ERA is 10.80. How does two bloop singles equal 10.80?
10.80 in the World Series or in the playoffs?
In the World Series. Look it up.
Is that right?
10.80. Yeah, you cannot give Kenley Jansen the ball in this game.
He allowed two runs in that inning.
Well, that might be it, because two stretched out over a nine-inning game would be a big number. Here's Jimmy on line three. Hey, Jimmy, where are you calling from? What city?
Jurupa Valley.
How do you spell Jurupa?
Jurupa.
I've never heard of Jurupa Valley. Where is it?
It's next to Riverside. Mira Loma, Ontario.
Okay. Got it. Inland Empire, okay. Man. Welcome to the show. What do you think? Is tonight the night?
Guys, it's over tonight. Yeah. Gosselin is going to pitch great. Dodgers have figured it out. Dustin May did not look great for a few games. They figured out what was wrong, and he looked amazing last game. I think we're going to close it out. Dodgers tend to bat pretty well against pitchers second time around, and we're going to get it done. We're going to be celebrating on the show tomorrow. Two championships in 1 year, just like 88.
Can you believe that?
Tonight,
where were you in 88?
Tonight. Were you even alive in 88, Jimmy?
I was a year and a half.
There you go.
Yeah, so you watched it from the crib.
Yep.
Wait a minute. All right, thanks for the call, Jimmy. Hey, Jorge, were you alive in 1988?
Yeah, I was telling Mace, I was 2 years old, and now 32 years later, my daughter is 2 years old.
There's the symmetry. That's what we need right there.
There it is, my man.
There it is. Yeah, I mean, you know, tonight, by the way, the roof is going to be closed tonight. It is really cold here. It was cold last night. It's cold and raining here. So the roof will be closed tonight, which means it'll be a little harder, to score runs. Although I think the Dodgers are raking. I think they're going to continue to hit home runs. And a lot of those guys just have, there's just postseason experience for these guys. You know, it makes a difference. That's why at the beginning, I gave the Rays an edge in starting rotation, the Rays an edge in bullpen. I gave the Dodgers the edge in hitting. And I gave the Dodgers the edge in intangibles. And I think the Dodgers have now been in this moment enough that they understand how big it is and they understand how to play well in it. And you look at guys like Jock Peterson. I mean, Jocktober is for sure a thing. You look at Corey Seager, absolutely tearing things up. JT hitting a couple of bombs. I mean, all of a sudden, this experience, I think, is paying off because these feel just like ball games to them. Those stakes feel so much higher for Tampa because who knows when they're going to get here again. And the stakes, the Dodgers seem like the looser team, the more comfortable team, the more cohesive team. Dave Roberts has talked about the camaraderie between his players. He said he's never had a closer group. And what does that sound like? Sounds like the Lakers never had a closer group.
Right.
All that camaraderie, all those guys like playing together. It's the same thing. Guys, when they're playing and they're having fun, it really shows. And I think that showed with the Lakers, and I think that's showing with the Dodgers.
So Alana Rizzo just went on Intentional Talk on the MLB
yes.
Network. And she asked those guys a trivia question, and you know it looks like Corey Seager might win World Series MVP.
Yep.
The last shortstop to win World Series MVP was her question.
God.
I know the answer now, and I still don't remember him doing this. You want to take a shot
God.
At it? You want me to give you the year?
Yeah, give me the year.
2010.
So it just happened.
Right.
A decade ago, 2010.
Yeah. So before that, David Eckstein in 2006, Derek Jeter in 2000, Alan Trammell in 84, and Bucky Dent in 78. But this guy won it in 2010.
2010 MVP, a shortstop.
Yeah. And you know, you've heard of him. I just don't think he...
Oh, I'm sure.
I don't remember him having
D.D.
a great
Gregorius.
World Series. Good try. It was Edgar Renteria. Do you remember
him having
a great World Series?
For the Cardinals, right?
Yes. No, Giants.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, for the Giants.
It was the first
I don't even remember it.
The Giants won 3. They won in 10, 12, and 14.
You know what's weird? Those don't even stick in my brain. I don't even remember the Giants winning a world title.
Bruce Bochy.
The Giants, have they ever won a World Series?
Bruce Bochy's going to get in the Hall of Fame because of those 3.
Oh, yeah, he definitely is.
Great
he definitely
guy.
Is. All right, continue to rifle through the hour. Got Radio Tinder coming up for you in 15 minutes. In the meantime, take a couple more calls, 877-710-ESPN. Dodgers on the mound tonight. Tony Gonsolin, Catman, not as a starter, not as an opener, but as a starter tonight versus Blake Snell, who was pretty damn good against him back in game number three. These games are mixing together. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back in middays, every day 1 to 4 here on 710 ESPN. Thank you very much for being out there. We appreciate you. I'm live in Arlington.
I assume Mason either got disconnected or is just asleep at the switch. But it's Mason in Ireland. Tonight could be the night. Tonight could be the night that the Dodgers win their first World Series since 1988. We're taking your phone calls. Here's Steve on line 4. Yeah. Hey, Steve. You're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Mason and Ireland, it's just an honor to be on your show. You guys are legends in L.A.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
To answer your question, The odds of us winning tonight are 70%, but with an asterisk. It gets cut in half if Kenley sets foot on the field.
If Kenley steps foot on the field, Steve, I might turn the game off.
Oh, come on, guys. If it's a blowout game, you don't like to give Kenley an inning.
To the Real Housewives of Orange County, which will give me a different kind of drama.
I'm with Ireland. It's got to be 20 runs or more.
That's what I said. Oh, you said, I said 17.
No. Yeah, no. Look, if it's a comfortable lead, I think we're going to see Kenley. If it is not a comfortable lead, we will not see Kenley at all tonight.
Well, earlier today there was on another radio show. They said, "What about the Disneyland ending? If we're ahead by 5 or 7 runs, top of the ninth, put Kershaw in and let him pitch the last 3 out."
You know what? Here's the thing with that. You know Dave likes to do stuff like that, and it is a storybook ending for Clayton Kershaw to come in and be the guy that retires the final 3 batters in a World Series. But what Dave Roberts hasn't done in the past is put players in their best position to succeed, and I do not believe that's a good position for Clayton Kershaw. I don't think you want to throw him on 2 days rest, even if it's just for an inning. I wouldn't do it.
I don't think he'll do it. I don't think you're going to have to worry about it. Thank you, Steve, for the phone call. Here's Eric in Sacramento. Hey, Eric, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hi, Mason, Ireland. How are you guys doing?
We're good, man.
We're great,
how are you
man.
Doing?
I'm doing great. Just living life. I wanted to mention about 1988. I was born in 1990, so I was obviously wasn't there in 1988, but it is a cool year because my dad turned 48. Him and my mom were actually sitting in the right field on the Curt Gibson home run. That was a pretty special moment for my dad.
Yeah.
And as far as the game, I'm going to head over to my parents, watch the daughters hopefully win. It'll be my first time watching them win ever. And as far as the game itself, I think if Gretel struggles, I believe Alex Wood would be the guy. If you guys go back to 2017, Alex Wood, in Game 4, he had a no-hitter through the 5 2/3 innings. So I think Alex
absolutely
Wood
right.
Job. Yep. And I also, as far as closing, I think Granerol would be the guy to do it.
All right. Yep. Thanks.
Thanks. I think Alex Wood will be the first arm out of the pen after Tony Gonsolin.
If it's and if Gratterall's out there late in the game, I'm okay with that. That guy.
You're talking about the Buffalo.
An hour.
You're talking about the Buffalo.
What he calls himself the Buffalo.
His teammates call himself.
So what's the other nickname that people are trying to hang on him?
Listeners are trying to hang on him. Bazooka.
Bazooka. Bazooka or Buffalo. Bazooka's a cooler nickname.
Yeah, but Buffalo. I mean, it's the name he's always had.
Buffalo.
So I think we should stick with.
Yeah, him. Buffalo is kind of slow and
Buffalo.
Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Here's Richie in L.A. Hey, Richie, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hey, how you guys doing, man? Big time fan,
great Richie
listener.
Thanks, Richie.
Thanks,
appreciate
man.
You listening. It's tonight, hey, brother, tonight.
Tonight is the night that Los Angeles defeats another team from Florida. I'm just gonna say that. And as far as the ninth inning or late in the game, like the last caller said, man, Gratterall's the guy. I put all my chips in on the table on Gratterall, man. He's the one.
Well, the one thing about Gratterall, for a guy who throws as hard as he does, Mace, he doesn't have a ton of strikeouts.
No, so he pitches to contact. That's what he's done all year long. He strikes out only 5/9. That's the thing that's scary about him as a closer. I think he will develop. I think he'll have more trust in his secondary pitches. But ultimately, right now, he's going to pitch to contact, which means that Dodger infield's going to need to be sharp. They're going to be good defensively. I have no issue with Gratterall being the final guy in. I'd rather see Trinan in there, but Gratterall is going to figure big into the late innings tonight.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see what the
pitch. Nobody's had a good explanation for me why he doesn't strike out more guys throwing 100, 101 miles an hour.
He probably doesn't have. You know how Jansen, when he was good, had a lot of movement on his ball? Maybe
yes.
Gratterall doesn't.
Yeah, that must be what it is. Must be what it is, because you expect a guy throwing 100 miles an hour to strike everybody out, and he just doesn't do it. That's the Buffalo for you. We're going with Buffalo.
I like Bazooka better. You call him Buffalo, I'll call him Bazooka. We'll see what sticks.
Okay. That's what we'll do.
Bazooka. Let's go.
Let's go, Buffalo. Nail it down. By the way, John, when you're doing shows from a hotel, you're generally quieter than me. I'm just yelling.
No, I have no regard for other hotel guests. Screw them.
Yeah, I'm like, I got a knock on the wall. It's like, it's screw too, you. I'm doing a radio show here.
It's 2:40 in the afternoon. What the hell else do they want to do? Come on.
What are you doing? Sleeping at 2:40 in the afternoon?
It makes no sense. And you're gone at night. So they should be thankful.
They should be. They should be. Making a racket is what they say. All right. I've lost track of the clock, John. Guide
radio
me.
Tinder.
Guide me.
Break now and then Radio Tinder.
Okay. Radio Tinder is up next for you. Coming up next hour. Oh, actually coming up at the top of the hour, 3:00, Keyshawn Johnson's going to be with us. And then at 3:15, Chris Rose from the MLB Network, all still to come. Radio Tinder first. That's next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. And we are getting ready for Game 6 of the World Series closeout game for the Dodgers. Got a chance to punch their ticket for the World Series championship for the first time in 32 years. I'll be here for the game, and we'll have complete coverage for you tomorrow, no matter how it goes. In the meantime, going to do some Radio Tinder. Lindsay's got a bunch of stuff for us. Lindsay, what do you got?
All right, guys. Well, a website called MyBets surveyed more than 5,000 NFL fans to help determine which fan base complains the most. The survey revealed
Jets.
Well, actually, okay, so you're going to guess Jets. Who do you think is the number
Jets
one complainer?
Jets or Eagles?
Cowboys.
Mace, you're right. The survey revealed that the Cowboys fans are the biggest complainers, citing victim mentality, followed by Patriots fans, and then Bills fans. Do you guys agree, obviously, Mace, I think you probably do, that Cowboys fans complain more than any of the other NFL fan bases? Swipe left or swipe right.
I'm going to have a moment of honesty. I cannot stand all the Cowboys talk that I get. Like, I had to give up Get Up because it just seems like it's all about the Cowboys. I just don't need that story in my life. I understand they're struggling and all that stuff, and they've got a lot of fans. And I know Stephen A. loves going after. I'm just not entertained by the whole thing. They're just the Cowboys to me.
I think the Eagles fans complain more than the Cowboys fans.
They're pretty bad.
But the Cowboys have more
So, you
fans.
Know, they actually landed at 5 on the list. So it goes Cowboys, Patriots, Bills, Bears, then Eagles. So the Eagles are pretty far up there.
Yeah, that's true. And New England, boy, you talk about they
what does New England have to complain about?
They've been great for 20 years, and now all they're doing is complaining? What a bunch of whiners.
What asses they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've definitely, that city's won more pro sports championships, I think, than any other one in the past, 50 years, 30 years, something like that. And yeah, they definitely complain the most. They always think they're getting a raw deal. I feel like they complain about refs more than anything. All right, next one here. Mike Tyson is getting prepared for his exhibition fight against Roy Jones Jr. But thankfully, as a gift to all of us, he took some time out of his busy schedule to release a self-titled EDM debut track. Tyson teamed up with Tiki Lau to create the track called Mike Tyson, featuring Mike Tyson. And here's a little bit of what it sounds like. So, are you guys fans of Mike Tyson's new song, Mike Tyson, Swipe Left or Swipe Right?
Hold on. Before you guys answer, the video is awesome. It's all great. Cartoons. He fights a shark. Man, I'll send you guys the link, man.
I am a fan of anything Mike Tyson, but Mace, am I the only one who thinks all those EDM songs sound the same?
No, I love EDM, man. Don't you ever go to a rave and rave out?
Wait for the drop, right? Wait for the drop.
You guys would be surprised if I told you who at the station is the biggest EDM fan.
Yeah, I know. It's Michael Thompson.
Michael Thompson loves EDM.
Oh, good. I'll send him this.
Yeah,
but like, I've been to Electric Daisy Carnival.
So fun.
I don't even know what that is.
That's the big EDM festival in Vegas.
3 days long.
Yeah,
Mace,
3 days
do you know
long.
Do you know who Marshmallow is?
Yes, of course. They're the guys that wear the big marshmallow hats.
Yeah, so I never heard of them. And my nephew, who's 9, is dressing as him for Halloween. So back when I was in Ohio, I was tasked with helping my sister create/find this marshmallow costume. And I was like, how does my 9-year-old nephew know who Marshmallow is? And I guess he's a big hit on the Fortnite game.
Yes. Oh, is he on Fortnite? Yeah. Really? He's. Yeah. Wow. I mean, they do a ton of records. Jorge, have you been to Electric Daisy Carnival?
Yeah, I went. I only lasted 2 days. And then the third one was just like, just hang out in a hotel room. Just let me
rest. It's a 3-day thing.
Kills you.
Brian Cranston, my buddy Brian Cranston, went to the Electric Daisy Carnival because one of the big hits that that year was called Heisenberg. And it was kind of cool because all he did was walk out and everybody cheered. And then he just touched the start button and everybody went nuts because the Heisenberg EDM cut came on.
Oh, that's a great thing.
Electric Daisy Carnival is really cool. John, I could see you there. Those are your people.
The Electric Daisy people?
Yeah. Yeah, those people will love you.
Yeah, those songs all sound the same to me.
Once the next time, you know, once the world gets back to normal and there's an EDM festival around here, I've never been to one, and obviously John's never been to one, unless he's got a secret life we don't know about, so we should all go to one together and document this experience.
John's secret life.
I have a secret life as an EDM group.
Yes. Yeah. He's actually Marshmallow. He's the guy.
He's Marshmallow. That's under the head.
Okay, last one here. Cigar Aficionado released a one-hour uncut interview with Michael Jordan last week, which was conducted for the publication's 25-year anniversary. Jordan, who's had trouble attracting talent to the Charlotte Hornets over the years, he thinks players teaming up on big market teams hurts the competitive balance of the league.
You want to be able to have competitive balance within the league. And if a player or an individual can choose based on the city to go to whatever respective team that he wants, you're going to have some discrepancy in terms of the talent pool and the competitive nature. And you're starting to see a little bit of it now to where all the stars are starting to gang up and go on one team. I think it's going to hurt the overall aspect of the league from a competitive standpoint. And you're going to have just one or two teams that's going to be great, and then the other 28 teams are going to be garbage.
Do you guys agree with MJ's assessment of stars teaming up? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe left for me. You know, these guys have earned free agency. It's almost like Jordan forgot that he used to be a player. Just because, you know, he spent the overwhelming majority of his career in Chicago. I mean, he went to the Wizards late in his career doesn't mean that it's not right for everybody else. I think the players have earned free agency, Mace, and they have earned the right to go wherever they want.
Completely agree. And I'm sure Jordan is frustrated that no super teams, nobody gets together and says, hey, let's all go play in Charlotte. Nobody ever is going to say that. And so I'm sure he's bitter over that. But no, I think super teams have actually turned out to be really good for the league. They create an unbelievable amount of excitement. Just look at this team. Look at this year. The Clippers super team, the Lakers super team. Even you could make an argument that the Rockets were a super team with multiple superstars. I mean, I think multiple superstars make things really, really fun. So I completely disagree with Jordan and swipe left.
All right, well, that is it for Radio Tinder for today.
That is it for Radio Tinder?
That's it.
Now, Keyshawn's normally comes on Mondays. Is he coming on Tuesday this week?
Yeah, he's coming on Tuesday because the Rams played last night.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
So Keyshawn Johnson is going to join us. We'll talk World Series. Plus, we will talk about the weekend NFL and last night the Rams beating the Bears. All that stuff coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.